Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Chemotherapy is, in some ways, a medical miracle. It's proven to kill cancer, and every year, hundreds of thousands of Americans are helped by these drugs.
But there are also many known side effects to the drugs. Perhaps the most noticeable is hair loss, but different kinds of chemotherapy can lead to life-altering consequences.
Infertility, nerve damage, and anemia are just a few of the many side effects that can come from chemo. Now, a growing body of work is focusing on yet another issue caused by these drugs, colloquially known as chemo brain.
Dr. Adam Greenberg is an assistant professor of psychology at UW-Milwaukee, and his lab just received a grant funding two studies on the effects of chemotherapy on brain functionality. Thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
Just to start off here, what is chemo brain?
Well, that is really what this study is about. It's really hard to define chemo brain. In large part, it's defined by people coming back to their oncologist after chemotherapy and simply saying, I don't feel quite right. There's a whole range of ways in which this gets brought to the attention of a physician. Generally speaking, it's some sort of cognitive problem. So it's often – people often think of it as an attention-related problem, although there are people who have language issues, people who have motor control issues, all kinds of – it can come out in various ways.
Is chemo brain right now, is it considered a legitimate side effect of chemotherapy? Is it recognized by most physicians?
Recognized by most physicians, yes. As far as I know, there is no official diagnosis of chemo brain, probably because there's no specific treatment for chemo brain. And so I think the issue is certainly all oncologists who directly treat patients with chemotherapy or prescribed chemotherapy know about chemo brain, and most of them are warning their patients at this point about the effects that we would call chemo brain. The issue really is they really don't have a lot of options for how to deal with chemo brain. I mean, the real problem, of course, and this is a problem in a weird sense, is that chemotherapy works. And there's not going to be any time soon where we're going to stop giving people chemotherapy because we're worried about the side effects of the drugs. So we need to find a way to deal with the chemo brain symptoms because they're happening regardless, because chemotherapy does help with cancer.
Beyond not having a way to deal with it, do we know right now, do we have a good idea of how long chemo brain lasts?
So that is something that has been studied ever so slightly. There's a little bit of evidence in the literature, but it's, as usual, when we're at the beginning of the discovery of these things, it's a little bit conflicting. So there have been some studies that have shown that chemo brain symptoms are strongest directly after chemotherapy ends or during the chemo treatment itself, depending on how long you're having chemo. And then they tend to go away for a little while. Some have discovered that after 6 months, there's a bit of a decline in the chemo brain symptoms, so a recovery of normal function. Some people have shown that it takes 2 years. But then others have shown you get a slight decline out at the 2 to 3 year mark. We would call that in science a U-shaped function where you have a lot of chemo brain symptoms right after chemotherapy. They maybe get a little bit better in the, say, 1 to 2 year range, and then they actually get worse again beyond that. And there's a study that was published, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, that was done with people who had chemotherapy treatment 20 years prior. So it's a really long ago treatment population. And those individuals still showed cognitive decline symptoms compared to their breast cancer with no chemo counterparts. So this can last – I mean, if you believe that particular study, it can last 20 years or more. So I guess the short answer is it's very complicated at this point, and it's simply because we haven't studied it enough.
How long have people been studying chemo brain? How long has this been on the radar of researchers?
That's a great question. It's certainly the case that it has gained some steam in the last 2 to 3 years. But the term chemo brain, I know, is more of a recent term. Based strictly on the dates of studies that have been published, there have been people who have been studying this for 10 or more years. But only recently has there been this larger interest, and importantly, outside of the oncology neuropsychology community. So neuropsychologists are clinical psychologists who have a batteries of standardized tests that are normalized across many different patient groups. And those are the most common ways of testing people for any kind of cognitive deficit that's seen in the clinic. And in fact, that's what happens when a patient returns to their oncologist and says, I'm having some memory trouble, or I'm having some language trouble, or I'm having some focusing trouble. The doctor says, okay, well, you might have chemo brain. I'm going to send you to our local neuropsychologist. And they give them a battery of tests. And they – sure enough, they say, yeah, you have a working memory problem, or yeah, you have an attention problem. But then that's kind of where it ends. The reason that I think it has gotten a little bit of press outside of the neuropsychology world more recently is because of the National Cancer Institute, which is part of the National Institutes of Health. About a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, they put out a call for grant proposals specifically from the neuroscience community for people like myself who are interested in the neural mechanisms of normal behavior, trying to use what we've learned in normal behavior to try to understand what might be happening with these chemo brain individuals.
So you have two studies, impending studies. Tell me about the first one.
Yeah. I mean, they're very closely related. But the first one is what we would call a strictly behavioral study. So there's no real neuroscientific measures that we're using. And that study is aimed at trying, at least in our mind, to get sort of a lay of the land. Both of the studies are longitudinal, which is something that has been sorely needed in this particular field. So in this first study, we're identifying individuals who are ready to have their chemotherapy treatment. So they've been told by their oncologist that they're going to have chemo treatment, but they haven't yet begun. So we have to catch them in this very narrow window, which often winds up being 3 days, maybe 5 days. So we have very tight, very close communication with the oncologist that we work with. Once we get them scheduled, we test them for about an hour on a variety of behavioral tasks. So these are either paper and pencil tasks. Those are standard neuropsychological tests like the ones I was talking about a few moments ago. Or we've also implemented some tests from cognitive neuroscience, from cognitive psychology on iPads. And so they just run as little apps, and we have our research assistants talking to the patients and they work through some of the tasks. They're all reaction time tasks, meaning that the subject will see something on the screen and then they're asked to press a button on the screen as quickly and as accurately as they can. We have some tests that measure visual attention and other tests that measure auditory attention. So we're looking in multiple modalities for signs of cognitive decline. So that happens in the first session. Then they go through their chemotherapy regimen. That can take 3 months, can take 6 months or longer. Once they're finished, we're in close communication again with the oncologist, so we know. Our goal is within about a month, but hopefully more like a week to 2 weeks after their last chemo session, we try to get in touch with them and have them come back to our lab and do effectively the same procedures that we ran through before they started chemotherapy. And the idea here is to try to understand what the profile, behavioral profile of cognitive decline is in individuals who ultimately wind up having these chemo brain symptoms. So when we test these people at the beginning before they start their chemo treatment, we don't know who's going to be in the chemo brain group and who's not, and who's going to be in the control group. They will effectively tell us by telling us about the symptoms that they wind up having after they finish their chemotherapy.
So you have another study that seems to build off directly from the first study, except it involves brain scans.
That's right. We're going to be doing neuroimaging with an MRI scanner. This is something we do in my lab all the time, but we usually look at normal volunteers, not patients. In this particular case, we're replicating the first study. We may change some of the metrics that we use based on what we find in the first study, but we're essentially replicating the behavioral data from the first study. But what we're adding is a neuroimaging piece to this, so we can not only identify the ways in which people have lost some cognitive abilities, but we can also try to understand what the brain mechanisms are that are the reason for that decline.
When you are looking at these brain scans, when you're doing this neural imaging, are you looking for lesions? Are you looking for brain activity?
Yeah, we're looking for patterns of activity, not lesions. We don't expect there to be lesions from chemotherapy. But there seems to be some indication in the literature that there are changes in the function of the brain in certain areas that are responsible for various cognitive operations. But also there's a change in the connectivity pattern. So how information flows from one area of the brain to another area of the brain. That's our real key interest in this particular study, is to look at the brain regions that are involved in a particular cognitive operation, say visual attention, and then measure how that information flows from those regions to one another back and forth, both before they begin chemotherapy and then after they end chemotherapy. And by looking at the difference in how the connections may change, we think we'll hopefully get a chance to tap into the selective issues that come from cognitive decline from chemotherapy.
Do we know right now what it is about chemotherapy that would cause this kind of cognitive decline?
In short, the answer is no. I mean, I can give you a very general overview of the sort of state of the field, but it's kind of in flux. The thought is that there are certain neurotoxins that are at play that, while they may help in certain aspects with respect to killing or removing cancer cells, they also target parts of the brain that are involved in cognitive operations that affect our daily life. There have been some animal studies. There have been some studies with humans with oncologists who use different combinations of drugs for chemotherapy. And there's been some slight evidence that different combinations of chemotherapy may have more or less effect. But it's just far too early to make any kind of speculation about exactly where those particular effects may come from.
How does your work fit into the larger body of work that we're seeing come out about chemobrain?
So when we designed this study, we did a lot of searching in the literature to try to understand what the key aspects of the work that's being done already were lacking, you know, what was missing. And the main things that we came up with were most of the studies that are done, the vast majority, are done with people who have already finished their chemo treatment. And we're comparing individuals who maybe they're 6 months out, maybe they're a year out, maybe they're 10 years out, like the one we talked about a moment ago. But we're comparing individuals who had breast cancer who went through chemo treatment with individuals who had breast cancer who did not have chemo treatment. And occasionally some studies will also have healthy controls who are basically age-matched individuals who didn't have any cancer at all. And obviously they also didn't have any chemotherapy. Those studies are useful when you can characterize a lot about those individuals. In other words, the level of education and the specific issues that they may have had in terms of their cognitive decline directly after they finished chemotherapy. But what's lacking there is you're always going to be comparing across groups of individuals. So any effects that you wind up seeing between, say, the individuals who had chemotherapy and the individuals that did not could be due to just differences between those individuals. And so it's critical at this point to try to understand how chemo brain or how chemotherapy develops these issues over time within an individual. There's a side benefit to this, of course, which is you can study fewer people, so you can get these studies done a little bit faster. But the main issue was making sure that we do this longitudinally, in other words, to study people before chemo and then again after chemo. The other thing, and this is maybe the reason that I'm specifically involved, the other thing that we felt needed to be done was to bring to bear the collective knowledge that the world of cognitive psychology or cognitive science has with respect to human behavior, human cognition really. As I said before, most of the research that's been done with respect to chemobrain have used neuropsychological metrics, so this standard battery of neuropsych tests. And those are useful, but they're designed for something very different. They're not designed for this kind of specific pinpointing of an ailment like what we're trying to do with chemobrain. They're designed to be very nonspecific, in fact, to be able to tell a physician or a neuropsychologist whether someone is having a working memory problem or an attention problem, or whether they're having a language problem or a motor control problem, but not to be able to tell you the specific type of cognitive decline that someone might have, knowing that they already have an attention problem. What exactly is the problem? The only way you can do that is with detailed reaction time or accuracy tests like we use in a cognitive psychology laboratory. And that's where my experience, I think, has helped with designing the study, because we're able to look at not just the neuropsychological side of things but also the normal human behavior. We can tell differences between one condition and another that may wind up being 15 or 20 milliseconds. But if the statistics work out right, then we know that it's a real difference.
All right. Well, Adam, I'm looking forward to seeing more of your work. And thank you so much for joining us here on Link Effect.
Thank you so much for having me.
Adam Greenberg is an assistant professor of psychology at UW-Milwaukee and is researching the effects of chemotherapy on the brain. His team of researchers is still recruiting participants for the study, and there's a link to more information on how to join the study at WUWM.com.